Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
WGN Nightside, 837. Mark Carman, Elizabeth Alfano with you until 10 o'clock tonight. Patty will be in then. Holding a book right now that I can't say the actual title of the book on the radio. Give a, let's go with S, Do Good, Live Better, Save the Planet, a practical handbook by Ashley Piper, who is in studio with us here at 720 WGN. Hello, Ashley. How are you?
Hi, I'm great, guys. How are you?
Great to have you here.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. This is an incredible studio and such a fun show. What else do you want to do on a Friday night?
This is it.
I mean, this is the place to be. There's no doubt about it. I mean, yeah. You get to look outside. You want to go take a ride on the Ferris wheel. It's a little chilly right now, but, you know, you can think about it.
I'm ready for it. Yeah.
We don't recommend it.
So this is your goal. I gave Elizabeth the goal to make me, you know,
whole
by 10 o'clock. You have to do this in like 20 minutes. Make the world a better place. What's one thing that's going through your mind today that you would like, you know, if you just did this, we'd have just a much better space that we could all cohabitate together?
Oh, gosh. Well, if we're talking about actually, I mean, I think kindness is helpful in a general sense if we're trying to, you know, save the collective ethos here. But if we're talking about saving the planet, one of the most profound things any of us can do, and I think Elizabeth would echo this and the whole show has been about this so far, is to eat fewer animal products. We now have, you know, the UN coming out with their most recent climate report saying that it's one of the most important steps that anybody can take to help the planet. So I think that's kind of the biggest first step. It's just to lessen reliance on animal products. I don't like to be so hard and fast and tell people you have to go vegan overnight because that feels very prohibitive and difficult of a life change. But just a few more meatless meals really does make a huge difference.
And kind of run through for us, because a lot of people maybe don't know, why would animal agriculture be so bad for the planet?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it depends upon which research bodies you're looking at, because there have been tons of longitudinal studies in the past decade that have come out. And they put animal agriculture anywhere from 15% to 51% as causing 15 to 51% of harmful global emissions. So if we're looking at the 15 or 14%, that's like what the UN is saying. That's a pretty conservative estimate. If we're looking at the 51%, that's a more robust estimate that's actually factoring in transportation of these animals, transportation of these goods to places, pollution caused by raising animals, deforestation caused for creating land for these animals to graze on. So 51% of all harmful global emissions can be potentially attributed to animal agriculture. That then makes animal agriculture the number one most polluting industry on the planet, more than any and all transportation industries combined. So I think that's a pretty compelling argument for that. There are plenty of other reasons why animal agriculture is harmful for the environment. We talk about deforestation, we talk about pollution of groundwater, pollution of the air, you know, all those animals poo, where does that all go? Usually it goes into the air or it goes into giant holding tanks. Isn't this a fun Friday night conversation? Are you just shook by it or what?
Are you feeling better, Mark?
I didn't quite know that we were going to get right to the defecation situation with the animals.
It's who I am, yeah.
But that's it's obviously a part of it. So are we okay? Hold on a second. Can I get a rewind? How did this become something on your heart that you wanted to write a book and talk about it right now and spend a Friday night with Elizabeth and just have this be something that's super important to you?
Well, I had become an ethical vegan probably about 9 years ago, and it was really for animal rights reasons, and then through my journey into that, I just found all of these other environmental reasons that were fantastic. Whether we're talking about resource inequity, like how ethical is it to feed a bunch of grain to a cow that only generally like wealthier Westerners will be eating when there are people who are starving in Yemen, you know, those kinds of things.
And could use the grain.
Exactly. Yeah. So there were a lot of different reasons why I kind of started to see the environmental shades of this and got into sustainability. And then I just found how easy this was, like how easy it is actually to make small, sustainable shifts in your own personal life that add up to collective positive impacts for the planet. And like, we've gotten ourselves into this mess. Climate change isn't something that just magically happened because the government did something or because, you know, the planet is doing something wacky. It's us. It's our consumption habits in a variety of different ways. So I think a lot of times people feel powerless. They wait for someone to legislate change for them. And in this administration, that's not really happening. Or they just feel like their individual actions don't matter. So I was like, no, our individual actions absolutely matter because they're what got us into this planetary pickle in the first place. So if we can make some small changes, which I've actually found and many other people have found to be pretty darn easy, then why wouldn't I want to dedicate my life to communicating that to people on a Friday night with some EDM music playing in the background, maybe a cocktail. I don't know. Can you guys drink on the air? I'm not sure.
Oh, we sure can.
Oof. Yes. Where it at?
Go, Elizabeth.
So to take us through some of those small changes, because I think you're right. A lot of people feel like, oh, God, climate change. It's way bigger than me. So I'm just not going to start. Where does somebody start? Okay, we know about the food, maybe lessening meat. But what are some of the other small things we can do maybe every day, maybe in our own house that would help the planet?
Yeah. Well, we've been hearing in Chicago, especially I think on the national scale, about like straws. You know, I think that was a pretty hot button issue recently. You know, lessening our reliance on single-use plastics is extremely important. You know, every piece of plastic that's ever been made still exists, regardless of whether or not it's been recycled. And plastic really came to kind of rise in like the 1940s, the 1950s. And now it's in everything. And it's becoming we're finding that plastics and other things aren't really getting recycled as much as we think they are. We're finding that recycling programs are inundated because we aren't doing a good job because we have an overabundance of disposables. So one of the biggest things, in addition to eating fewer animal products that people can do, is to lessen their reliability or lessen their, you know, like stop getting disposable things. I can't talk. I'm clearly drunk right now.
You're doing a great job.
Thanks so much.
For real, you are.
Thank you. But to not have as many disposable things. So how do you do that? You bring reusable things with you. Like, do y'all bring your reusable mug when you go to get coffee or when you go to the airport and go to get water? All right. Well, now you can envision me as a ghost on your shoulder following you as you go to the airport. I'm sure it's a crazy vision.
That's going to work. I can see Mark will now change.
Mark's scared. He's afraid of me.
Well, I am down on that, and it does disturb me for real when you know, you're at some place and you get this plastic cup. I just drank 5 ounces of water and now it's thrown away and that's it. I mean, that's ridiculous. That should not, you know, in my mind, that should be a drinking fountain. There's, because people aren't carrying stuff with them versus, you know, you don't need a cup, man. Like, I personally don't need a cup when I go to the sink. Like, I'm more than happy to stick my head right underneath there. It doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, you're a savage man. I like your style.
Cup. It's my hands. My hands are my cup.
I mean, yeah. I open the fridge. I'm drinking out of the milk carton.
You're drinking out of the carton.
It's no problem for me. But other people, I get it. They don't want to do that.
Sure.
But that's one way for me.
It's the American way.
But you can always, now there are so many like stylish, cool looking, you know, eco-friendly used to be considered so crunchy, so inconvenient, so isolating and kind of uncool. And now it's really, I think, a very chic, almost like fashion accessory for life. People have all these like cool looking water bottles and reusable mugs and like stainless steel tiffins and cloth napkins. It's become chic again to kind of get into a place where you're doing something good for the environment. So, you know, bringing your own water bottle to the airport, not hard, saves you a lot of money.
Right.
Easy. And we know that like places like airports are notorious for not recycling, even when you put something in the recycle bin anyway. We know that airplanes are like that too. So whatever you can do, just in small measure, maybe you can bring your own cutlery with you and not have to rely on the plastic disposable cutlery. Maybe you bring your own napkin. These are just pretty simple swaps once you actually get in the habit of doing them. We, like ladies, we carry purses with us. A lot of us carry bags with us. And so it's pretty easy to throw one of those in there and just be off with your day and have it become a pretty ingrained habit.
Yeah, but come on. I don't want to have a snot-filled thing in my purse. That's people are
what
just...
Are you drinking snot? Can we talk about it first?
Why would you have a purse?
I don't know if we have enough time to even unpack this.
I got to somebody who's blowing their nose 10 times a day. Is going through a mound of, but you're not worried about that because it's not plastic. Are we good? We can use as much Kleenex
no,
as we
can
want.
Well, that would be dirty. You have to get rid of your dirty Kleenex.
I'm not saying you necessarily need to keep your your disposable Kleenexes
don't use
forever.
Your sleeve.
But can't, like, but, yeah. Like, but old school dudes, they would have a handkerchief. That's what they would do.
Yeah, hanky's fine too.
And I think that's nasty, but like.
Don't use a hanky. I guess that's my advice is like certain people have different. I don't want to call it a hang up here. I don't want to judge you, but some people have hang ups about certain things. If you can't get down with it, don't do it. But maybe you're cool with bringing your own mug or reusable container to the coffee shop to get your morning joe.
You got me on all.
Maybe
on
you're
all
down to clown
here.
With that.
Yeah, right. I got it. Okay, fair enough.
I actually think this is a time to be super positive. We're going to hit a quick break here, but when we come back, I want to talk about how empowered I think people can really feel, because I do think, despite all the negative news that has come out, like climate reports, yeah, et cetera, I think this is a time to be really positive. So we're going to hit a break. I'm Elizabeth Alfano, Mark Harmon, WGN 720.
And I want to throw out the phone number, 312-981-7200. If you want to just put your habits out there and have Ashley just you can direct them in a way that they could possibly just be one step better. Are you cool with that?
I'll Marie Kondo your life in an eco-friendly way.
Yeah, 312-981-7200.
We're down. It's Nightside.
You are just dancing over there, Elizabeth Alfano.
I cannot control myself. Hit it, Mark. You go.
No, you're good. I just want people to see the picture of a dancing Elizabeth. Ashley's inspiring us.
No, I'm inspired by you guys. We had some good questions and some good talks.
Yes.
During the break.
Yes. So I actually think this is a time to be really positive because when I watch the television set, so it's so clear to me, okay, all Democrats hate Republicans, all Republicans hate Democrats.
Right.
I know it. That's going nowhere. I have no, faith in that. But I do feel empowered when I think, now, hold up. I vote 3 times a day because I've got my wallet and I use it. And I know that changes things more than anything else. So if I'm not buying meat or if I'm not buying single-use plastic bottle after plastic bottle, mm-hmm, these things do add up. And that's because I've got the power.
Absolutely.
So I really feel empowered when I make these choices. And so for me, it feels very emboldened.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
What do you think about that, Mark? I know at the break you were saying, like, I don't know how it's going to shake out.
Listen, I've been fighting the fight. We've got on the homestead now, we've got the Brita. That was a move.
Look at you. Check you out, man.
And the Brita was like, I mean, that was so 1988. And
yeah, then, I feel like you're basically in 96 now.
Yes,
like,
right.
Which is cool.
But it went away, and now I've brought it back. And I just feel much better that I have this. Yeah. The water's delicious.
Yeah.
I'm not paying a lot for it. It's right there for me. I can put it in my same mug every night when I go to sleep. It's right there.
Yep.
If what's ever left, I finish in the morning, so I start today with some hydration. That makes me feel good.
You look very well hydrated.
Yes, it's just the toe.
Yeah, you do.
It's the toe that doesn't get the water. He's got a bad toe.
Oh, he's got a bad toe. Yes. Wow.
We're working on it.
Yeah. And a bucket of snot, as we covered earlier. You're a man with lots of things going on.
Mark.
I love it. But you know what? You hit on something really good, too. There are a lot of people who say, I don't want to do this thing for the environment, or I don't necessarily believe in climate change. I don't know if this matters. But you said you save a lot of money. It's
right.
Not a coincidence that a lot of things that are actually good for the planet also save you quite a bit of money. So say you want to bring your own water bottle to the airport, but you don't want to do it for the planet. You want to do it because you don't want to buy a $9 bottle of Fiji water.
Right. Exactly.
There you go.
Yeah, that works for me.
So all the cheapskates, come holler at me, you know?
Okay, so you've got this great book here, and I want to plug it again.
Thank you.
Give a starts with S.
Yep.
Do Good, Live Better, Save the Planet by our guest, Ashley Piper. So I love this. You've kind of taken the book a bit school marmy, if I can say that, because you've highlighted a bunch of things. Obviously, it's printed yellow, but you've highlighted a bunch of things that you're like, okay, if you're not going to read the whole book, at least get a couple points down.
Yep.
So the cliff notes here for me. You give a list of what's not really recyclable, and I think it's recyclable. And I think this is very frustrating for people because sometimes your intention is there. You want to recycle, but you look at the thing and you're like, I have no idea.
Right.
Is it recyclable? Is it not? I have no idea. So here are some things I learned from your book that I did not previously know, and this kills me.
Okay.
Plastic caps. So you can recycle the water bottle, but not the plastic caps.
So it depends. I mean, recycling is such a subjective thing depending upon where you are, what your municipality will recycle. If we were in Berkeley, California, for instance, a lot of things that we can't recycle in Chicago would be recyclable there. So in certain places, bottle caps can be recycled, but a lot of times they are a completely different plastic than the bottle. So you oftentimes want to take them off, look at what kind of plastic they are, if they have the little symbol, and make sure that your area actually recycles that particular plastic.
See, I think like that kind of step makes it tricky for people.
Sure.
I wish it were like one-stop shop, recycle or don't. Here's another one that I'm so sorry, world. I've been recycling, and apparently I'm not supposed to. Plastic and zip top bags.
Yep. So
that
again,
just kills me. Why is that not recyclable?
And just to clarify, when I say in the book, like, not recyclable, I mean, like, by traditional curbside systems, which about like 97% of us have or have access to in the U.S. So, yeah, Ziploc bags are kind of similar. They're that same soft plastic that a lot of plastic grocery bags are made from. So actually, if you go to grocery stores, sometimes they have a receptacle that says, like, put your plastic grocery bags in here. You can bring clean zip top bags and have them recycled there. But curbside in Chicago, they're not recycling those. In fact, they implicitly say on, you know, the guide, like, don't try to recycle shopping bags in here because they're simply a really difficult mix of plastics for most municipal systems to recycle.
So what's the bag you should buy for those who are bringing sandwiches to work?
Oh my gosh, I have a favorite. I'm not trying to plug a product, but I'm obsessed with Stasher bags. Have you seen them? They are silicone bags. They're totally reusable, totally dishwasher safe, microwave safe. And you can actually, and they have a zip top to them, so they act just like a Ziploc bag, except they're reusable.
Stasher bags.
Stasher bags. I mean, like, everybody needs them. They're amazing for lots of things.
And you can get them anywhere?
You can get them online, I'm pretty sure. And certain, like, more eco-leaning stores will have them. But they're on fire now. I've seen, like, Ellen using them. All these, you know, celebrities are getting really, like, woke to all this sustainable swag, you know? It's cool to see.
Awesome. Okay, so I have another question. And, of course, anybody throw out your questions, too, if you're not sure what to do about something. Ashley maybe can give you some advice. Our text line again is, Mark?
312-981-7200. There's a bunch of stuff coming
so
in the text
line.
I'm like the Delilah of, you know, I'll play a request for your lover that's green, you know?
Okay, I'll just really quick and then we'll get to some others.
Yeah.
So my dad and I, when he would walk through the door and I was a young kid, he would take my hand and we would go from room to room and turn off all the lights.
Love it.
And I want to know, some people say you should never do that. Once the light is on, it should stay on until you go to bed and then it stays off until you get on. So you turn it on and off twice a day. But we would turn it on and then immediately when we weren't using it, turn it off. So this constant on, off, mm-hmm. on, off. What's the right thing to do?
That depends upon the kind of bulbs you have and the kind of wiring you have in your house.
This is hard.
But generally, I am like somebody who, if I'm not using it, it's not on. That's
okay.
Kind of because I was raised similarly, good, better, and different. That's something that just really depends upon if you live in a place with older wiring, if you're using compact fluorescent light bulbs, if you're using LEDs. Some of them have more energy ramp up just to get on. And then when you turn them off, it's actually more taxing for the energy system to get them back on. So it really does depend. I know. I'm
tricky
sorry.
Business.
I'm sorry. But that's actually kind of the least of our worries. It's a great habit to have. But I would say, like, if you want to shut something off, the water is a good thing. If you want to shut things, the fridge door is a great thing to shut. There are quite a few things that we have that are really taxing from an energy standpoint that we don't even realize that we do.
So. Ashley Piper, the book Give a S, Do Good, Live Better, Save the Planet. One real quick call here. Mike wants to know what to do in the rural area. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I live in a rural area, and Ogle County just said, well, we're going to get rid of our recycling bins because people are treating them like trash cans.
Yeah.
And we don't know what we're going to do with all the bottles and plastics and cardboard and paper. You know, we're trying our best. But now the county is saying, oh, we got to get rid of these things because people are treating them like trash cans.
Well, okay, Mike, appreciate the call. Let's see what Ashley says about fighting back.
Well, Mike, I feel for you, man, because you're basically you're an innocent victim and, you know, people just being garbage at following recycling rules. Unfortunately, I think the only thing right now is if your municipal recycling system or county recycling system goes away that you can do to still continue to recycle things is to keep them in your home or outside, keep them clean, and then take them like in your car to another recycling center. Hopefully one that's kind of nearby so it's not super inconvenient for you. But what you outlined is a really good reason when people say, and people, you know, to have access to curbside recycling is a luxury. It really is. Even though a lot of us do, I think you had said this earlier, we get kind of disenchanted with it because we'll work in an office building and we'll see maybe that recycling is being mixed with trash. And then we'll think, oh, what does it matter that I'm even doing this? Or, you know, we throw just dirty items and not recyclable items in the recycle bin, and we expect municipal workers to sort through it. And what actually happens, the reality is that if there's something errant in there, something dirty that can't be recycled, usually the whole batch goes into the trash.
Right.
So, and then, you know, we see it if you go to like a Starbucks, for instance. I'm not throwing shade at Starbucks. It's just a good example. They used to have a lot of recycle bins in there. And if you would look in the recycle bin versus the trash, you would see almost no difference at all. That's not a problem with the system. That's a problem with us. And it's a problem, too, I think, because in the 80s and the 90s, we became really well educated on recycling because it was a new thing. It was very in vogue. And then we just kind of lost it. I think we put all this faith in like government that we learned suddenly how to recycle absolutely everything. And there are hundreds of thousands of people who are recycling things for us on the daily. And that's just not true. The systems can't keep up with the amount of disposable things that we create. And, you know, it's just unfortunately what you outline here, Michael, is exactly what's happening in a lot of places around the country. People can't treat it well, so it's taken away, essentially. So I hope that there's a place near you where you can bring your recycling, and I hope you don't get too daunted by it and you keep at it, because we appreciate your efforts and your thoughtfulness.
Do.
Ashley Piper in the house. Her book is Give a Bleep, Do Good, Live Better, Save the Planet. It's got lots of great tips, Michael. So get the book, and everybody else who's asked questions like we all do, get the book. Thanks for being here, Ashley. Super appreciate
it. Thank you so much, guys. You're lovely.
We're going to head to break. WGN 720.